I want to share my heart with you for 2 minutes, and then I'm going to introduce somebody. A lot of you have not been here for very long at all, and you don't know that one of the deep, earnest desires of my heart is to raise up ministers. It's one of the things that I've been passionate about. The reason for that is when I launched out into ministry at 20 years old to be a pastor, I had nobody to help me. And I was my own worst enemy. And it wasn't because I didn't want to do it and I didn't want to do it right. It was because I didn't know what to do. And so I always made a vow to God, God, if you'll help me, I'll help anybody who has a call on their life. If they say they're called to ministry, I'll give whatever I have to them to help them do what God has called them to do. And in doing that, God's always helped me do what He's called me to do. In Louisiana, we had a Bible college that we helped start. That Bible college now probably has thousands of students all over America, all over the world, preaching the gospel. We had 50 to 60 college interns that worked at our church, and they were constantly being raised up for ministry. We would graduate them and then send them off to some part of the country. And so I just have a heart for that. It's just part of who I am, right? One of the things that has burdened me in the body of Christ is that much of the body of Christ has not opened its arms to women who have a call on their life. And that's sad to me. Because in the Old Testament, you had prophetesses like Miriam and others. Great women of God, Deborah, who was a judge over all of Israel. You come over into the New Testament, starting in the book of Acts, Philip's got 4 daughters. All of them are prophetesses. Chloe is leading a church in her house. It just goes without saying, women have made a huge impact for the gospel of Jesus Christ. I just want to go this far as to say, I don't think if they would have been doing their part that many of you men would even be in church today. A lot of you men are here because some woman refused to give up your soul to the devil. Right? And so, a few years ago, I sat on the board of Teen Challenge for a long time. The national board and the state board in Louisiana. Louisiana's Teen Challenge was a massive program. How many students total, men, women, all over the state? Hundreds of Teen Challenge students. It was a massive program, probably the most successful Teen Challenge program in the United States. Self-sufficient and full of ministry, raising up people for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it was at that time, pastoring there, that I met Jennifer Bailey for the first time. Well, I'm sorry, Elijah. I'm so sorry. Jennifer Lewis. You don't want to make Elijah mad. Willis. I'm sorry, Jennifer Willis. You don't want to make Elijah mad. He'll beat you up. So anyway, Elijah's saved, but barely. But I'm sorry. Jennifer Willis. Anyway, Jennifer, at that time, came in as a student at Teen Challenge. By the time I left, she was a leader at Teen Challenge and was helping run the program. So I was shocked when all of a sudden one day she reaches out to me and she tells me she's back in Cookeville, Tennessee. I was even more shocked to find out this is where she was from, because for some reason or other, I didn't put the dots together at that time. And I'm so proud of her. I'm so proud of her. She works at Next Step. She gives her life. Her and Elijah Willis give their life to these students. She eats and breathes it. I will tell you, she's been offered many positions. She could have went other places, but she wants to be in the Upper Cumberland preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. A month or so ago, she came to me. She said, I feel like God's given me a word. And I said, get it ready. I'm going to let you share it. And tonight is her night to preach the word of God to us. And so I want you to stand on your feet. Give Miss Jennifer Willis a great big God bless you. She comes to share.
love you guys. Since we're getting mushy, let me take a minute to give you and Miss Pam honor, because we are so fortunate and so blessed to have pastors who, some pastors want to hog it all. You know that? And he wants to raise his body up. He wants to raise his body up to be stronger in the Lord. He wants to make us a strong church. He wants to pour into our gifts, and it's constant. And I just want to give you guys honor for that. And I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart.
Yes.
All right. All right, let's pray. Father God, we love you. God, we need you. We know you're already here. You're already present with us. And we thank you for it, God. Father, you've put a word in my heart. It's a message, but it's your message. I ask that you just use me, that you push myself out of the way, that you have your way. Give us all hearts to receive the message. God, cut every single one of us to the heart, Father. Just capture us. Take us in. Help us to give all of our attention to you, all of ourselves to you. We love you. We praise you. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right. I want, if you guys wouldn't mind, to turn with me to 2 Peter 1. I'm going to be reading out of 3 through 10. It's a little lengthy, but this is actually the verse that I stand on. This verse, honestly, this verse sums up everything that God's done for me. And this is my favorite passage in the Bible. This is powerful, and I just want to preach off this tonight. So his divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these, he has given us his very great and precious promises, so that through them we may participate in his divine nature, having escaped the corruption of the world caused by evil desires. For this reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness mutual affection, to mutual affection love. For if you possess these qualities, and they are increasing, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But whoever does not have them is nearsighted and blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed of their past sins. That's something I don't ever want to be, is nearsighted and blind. I want to preach a message to you guys tonight, to me, to all of us, just a challenge as a church. A challenge of holiness. A challenge of separation from the world. A challenge of raising our standard of holiness and holding ourselves to a higher standard, so that we can be effective and that we can be increasing in the knowledge, and not forget what God's done for us, not be nearsighted and blind. We have escaped corruption. We have been rescued. When one is rescued from something, they are removed from a dangerous, harmful, and distressing situation. They've been saved. Every one of us has been rescued from the pit of hell. We came from darkness to light. Light and darkness cannot be together. We cannot leave the light. We cannot go back and forth from darkness to light. We shouldn't even look at it. The things of hell and of the world are dark. So we, a church who has been rescued from it, should become completely separate from worldliness and take on the things of God, increasing in the knowledge and the fruits of the Spirit, so we don't become nearsighted and blind, forgetting that we have been cleansed of our former sins, that we have been delivered from them. God took us. He picked us up. He transferred us from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. We can't take it with us. This is what happens. This is what I think happens. See, the world offers a lot of gray area. But there's not any gray area. There is no gray area. God is light. We're light, right? We're the light of the world. The enemy's darkness. This world's fallen. We're the light. We can't mingle in with it. In 1 Colossians 1, plainly says, I'm just going to read the whole thing. You may be filled with the knowledge of his will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. You may be strengthened with all power according to his glorious might for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the light of the saints in light. I said, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sin. We have escaped the corruption of the world and been delivered from the dominion of darkness. We get to participate in his divine nature. So let's live like it. Let's live like it. I'm going to give you a short testimony of myself. A lot of you know me, but I just want to just touch on it just for a second. I was raised up good. I was raised up in church. I had a good and loving family. I went into the dominion of darkness. I was swallowed up in addiction. I was swallowed up in it. And with addiction comes so many other things. I was living here on this earth, and I was just, listen, nobody wakes up and decides they want to be a needle junkie. That's not what happens. That's not what happens. I slid into it because it was fun for a while. The devil doesn't come in your face and say, come into the darkness. That's not what he does. That is not what he does. He gives you a lot of gray area.
Yes, ma'am.
The first time you go into the gray area, it's okay. The second time, it's okay. The third time, it's okay. The fourth time, it's deeper, deeper, deeper. And then you're trapped and you're in bondage because it's you're in the dominion of darkness. I served Satan for over a decade of my life. But if you ask me if I was serving Satan, I wasn't serving Satan, right? Because I believed in God. I know I'm not living right now, but I believe in God. I was preaching. See, I've had a call on my life all my life. I was preaching even then in addiction. But I'd always say, I know I'm not doing it, but this is what you need to do. This, you should do this. My mom, she laughs at this. I called myself a crystal Methodist. It was so bad. It's embarrassing, but it's true. It's what I did. I was in darkness. I was engulfed in it. I lost everything. I lost my children. I lost my life. I lost my family. I was a complete slave to the dominion of darkness. We have to know that we've been rescued. And we have to know our identity in Christ. When I doing what I do, what Elijah does, all of our students, we're on the front lines of fighting the corruption of the world. And people who've lived in addiction and other types of bondage for a while know they've been rescued. Some Christians may not feel rescued because they've never hit hell like we did, so they don't know the full extent of the corruption they've escaped. Now listen, I wanna say something. All right. Some people in other churches, not this church, but in other churches. They don't know they've been rescued. They don't know. But I know. He knows. All our students, they know. Y'all been rescued. Because people want to teeter with it. They want to go into that gray area a little bit, come to church, jump around, right? Other churches. And listen, I'm telling you right now, because I know, because I was saved from the literal pits of hell. You don't want to teeter with that. You don't want to teeter with that. We need to be completely separated. Separated. We got to know our identity in Christ. When we have a new identity in Christ, because he delivered us from the dominion of darkness, what does that look like, carrying it with us? Well, we don't need to talk like we used to talk. We don't need to dress like we used to dress. Ladies, the Lord said, put off your former self. He did not say, put on your former outfit. Right? Should we look gothic? I don't think so. It represents death, right? I used to wear cuffs on my arms all the time. So cool. Man, I was so cool. Y'all have no idea how cool I was. You know what those cuffs represent, right? Bondage. If you wear cuffs, I'm sorry. I still think they're cool, okay? I wear them sometimes. I'm just saying. If you just think about how Satan just pulls us in and puts his stamp on us when we live in the dominion of darkness, let's not carry it into the dominion of light. Let's represent Jesus and know our identity in Christ, know who we are, where we stand, because no one decides to backslide. Nobody. Nobody leaves the doors of the church and goes home and says, I'm sick of this, I'm going to backslide. They don't do that. That's not what they do. It's compromise. I'm getting ahead of myself. I'm learning from my leader. All right. We also must know who we represent, and we must choose our surroundings. Where we go, what we do, who we're around, what we listen to, it all matters. Now, listen, I know for me, I can't listen to any music from my former life. Some of the music that I used to listen to that I thought was fine, like classic rock, all that stuff, I won't even get into the other stuff. I'm just talking about the little innocent stuff, right? It's not. It ain't. I'm not on a highway to hell anymore. Let's not let Satan keep his stamp on us. We don't belong to him.
That's right.
We don't belong to him. We belong to Jesus. We have a new identity. We're sons and daughters of the King. Light should be oozing from us. Light should be shining so bright from us that the world can't even look at it. The world shouldn't want to hang out with us. We should be the weirdos, right? Now more than ever, we need to be sober mind, vigilant, and alert, because our enemy, the devil's prowling around. He wants to devour us. There are some places that we go. You guys know, have you guys, not probably y'all, but me. You know, you used to go to places or parties. You know that thing we call social anxiety? And you got to have a drink or something to get through that. That's not social anxiety. That's the Holy Spirit, because you're not supposed to be there. You got to drink. You got to take in the world just to blend in with the world. But you were never supposed to be there. We were never supposed to be there. My students are going to be so sick of this. I'm about to say, I'm doing the thing. Listen. All right, this is what the world tells us right here, okay? This box right here represents God's rules, his boundaries, his laws, his commandments, this inside this box, right? And this is where we need to live, inside this box. But what does the world say that box is? The world says that box is bondage, right? And what's the world says out here?
Freedom.
That's a lie from the pits of hell, because I know, because I lived out here, and this is the bondage. This is the freedom. Right here is the freedom. Amen. This is the bondage right here. But we do that. Listen, in the gray area is somewhere just right outside that little box right there, but you're still in it. You're not in the freedom. When you're in the gray area, now there is no gray area. The gray area is like a hook. It's like saying, come on. Come on out. This is freedom. This is fun. But it's not. It's a bondage. It looks, anything that God has done, anything that he has established in his people, any boundary for protection, rule, commandment that he's given us, the devil's going to distort it, twist it around, and make it look, he makes that look like freedom. But that's not freedom. That, literally, you're going to go to jail. Literally, I know. I know that you will. Out there, you're going to go to jail. It's not just bondage like in here. It's bondage like you're going to jail. And it's a lie. Everything that the devil tells us is a lie. We represent and belong to God. He is holy, and he calls us to be holy. 1 Peter 1:14 through 16 says, as obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance, but as he who calls you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, since it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. God's not going to tell us to be holy if he's not going to give us everything we need to be holy. Now, I know what y'all are thinking right now. I'm going to get ahead of myself on purpose. But I know what you're thinking right now. You're thinking, who does this chick think she is? This chick right here was in addiction, and she's going to stand up here and tell us to be holy. Yeah, I am. Because listen, I miss it sometimes. I miss the mark. But I can stand here and tell you right now, I really strive to stay out of that gray area. And the fact that God can take somebody like me, I lived a very wretched life, and give me the desire to be holy is a miracle. And I know that if he can do that for me, then he can give you every single little thing that you need to be holy, to live a holy life, to give a godly life, and to give everything that you have to the Lord. We must know exactly where we stand. Both the scriptures we read in 2 Peter and 1 Colossians tell us as Christians to increase in the fruits of the Spirit and in the knowledge of God, so that we can have strength and power, so that we don't become ineffective, unproductive, nearsighted, or blind. Now more than ever, we need to be effective, productive, and aware of the gray areas. The power of the Holy Spirit has got to be increasing in us, and I just don't see how we can increase in the things of God if we're looking back at the corruption that we've been rescued from. We are living in a time where the devil's right up in our face. He's right up in our kids' face. He's not even hiding anymore. He's literally in our face. He's in our kids' schools. Everywhere you look, everywhere you go, and we're going to the park and we're praying, right? That's good. We're saying, devil, you can't have my town. Devil, you can't have my kids. Devil, you can't have my husband. Devil, you can't have my life. But what if he looks back at us and says, but I have you? And we don't even know it, because we're not living inside of that dominion of light. It's deception. Everything he does is deception. We got to have awareness. We've got to have holiness, fullness, goodness. I don't want anyone to experience the hell that comes from the dominion of darkness. I don't want anyone to lose a family member to it. But I know some of you have. And my heart breaks because I've been there. But listen, living in the light is fun. It's so awesome. I'm so free. I'm telling you right now, the only way I lived through it was the Lord. I wanted to die. I tried to die. Almost every one of these Next Step students sitting in here wanted to die because it's torture. It's torture. But listen, God loves us so much. All we have to do is decide.
That's right.
That's it. That's it. And if we're backslidden or teetering in that gray area, that's all we got to do is decide. That's it. We search for, you know what the devil does to us when we start getting in that gray area? I know because I have to coach people out of it all the time, even in the program. You can get in that gray area in your mind. Did you know that? That gray area actually starts in your mind. Negativity. Depression. Temptation. I love what you said on Sunday. You're talking about fear and confusion travel together. You start getting in that gray area, it starts getting scary. Then confusion comes along, you start questioning everything. You question the Word of God. You'll question where you stand, who you are. Do you belong here? Am I ever going to make it? Am I just playing church? We stand on the truth in the Word of God. That is the truth. There's no question about it because there really isn't a gray area. It's a lie. And we know the truth. We know the Word. We have the Word. We have a new identity in Christ. We're not who we used to be. We're not who the world said we are. We're not who our parents said we were, some of us. Not me, Mom. Some of us. We're who God says we are. And it's in the Word. It's available for us. We had that Word in our hearts. We live by it. We stay so far away from darkness. We stay so far away from worldliness. We don't have to question that. We don't have to wonder. We don't have to go from one extreme to the other because we can be free. I promise you, if I can be free, y'all can be free. I promise you. I promise you, if I can be delivered from drugs, you can be delivered from depression. I promise you, if I can be delivered from anger, you can be delivered from anger. I promise you, if I can be delivered from the corruption of the world, that you can be delivered from the corruption of the world. No one has to be in bondage. And it really is as simple as just making a choice. But it's not a one-time choice. That's the thing. It's an every single day choice, killing our flesh, crucifying our flesh. You can't tame your flesh. Don't try to tame your flesh. You got to kill it. It's got to die.
Come on, man.
It's got to die. Come on, man. Every single day to be a living sacrifice for the Lord. Picking up our cross, laying down our life, killing our flesh. That's what we do over and over and over every single day. But it gets easier and there's freedom in it. Don't look at that. Don't look at that darkness anymore.
Yeah.
I get really, I hate this. I hate it. I hate it. I hate this phrase. I hate it. I hate it. Well, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. No, you're not. You're a saint. You're living in the light if you want to be. Everything we do is a decision. Every single thing we do, every single day is a decision. Can everybody stand with me? I'd like to have an altar call. And I'd like to ask that if you're in any kind of bondage, that you run up here. I'd like to ask you, if you've been living in the gray area, thinking about the gray area, looking at the gray area, get up here. You know, when we come to this altar, we can come up here mad. We can come up here with anger. We can come up here with discord. We can come up here with strife. We can come up here with envy, jealousy. We can come up here with addiction. And you know what? You know what we can do? We can stay here until it leaves us, until we're softened. Yes. We can stay here in this posture of submission, and we can give it to the Lord. Yes. This is real. This is real. If you need a healing, if you need deliverance, anything you need, I ask that you come up and just get real. If you're going to be real with anybody in the world, you can be real with me, because I've seen it all, I promise you. You don't need those cigarettes. You don't need that vape. You don't need that kratom. That's addiction too. Can I ask my interns to come up? Elijah, you come up. Anybody else who wants to come up and pray? Let's get on our knees before the Lord. Let's stand with our hands up before the Lord. Let's pray. Can everybody lift their hands with me? Father God, thank you. Thank you for deliverance. Thank you for freedom. Thank you for redemption. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you that you cast out bondage, that you cast out fear, that you cast out sickness, that you cast out addiction, that you cast out depression, that you cast out just emptiness. God, help us, Lord. Help us to be whole, to lay bare before you, to lay it all down before you, God. Father, I ask that you tug on anyone's heart in here who needs some freedom, any kind of freedom. God, that you give courage. Father, that you give lightness and joy. Move through here, Holy Spirit. Move through here and cut through this darkness, God. Help us to leave our darkness right here. Yes. Father, help us to shine. God, reveal to us. Make us aware of anything we're carrying from that wretched dominion. God, make us aware of it. Not to just joke about it, play about it, teeter with it, listen to it, go to it, watch it. God, help us to put it down.
Praise the Lord.
I want to ask all the Next Step students, if you'll come all across the front. I just want you to turn and face the audience. I feel like the Lord wants me to do something. These are some mighty warriors the devil tried to take out before their time. These are some mighty warriors the devil tried to take out before their time. I've done ministry with this guy right here. World class. World class. Promise you. I've done ministry with several of these ladies right here. World class. This one right here, world class. She'll outwork 10 men. This one right here, the sweetest thing God ever put in a donut shop right there. Every Tuesday, I bring my grandkids to the donut shop. She loves on them, gives them donuts, treats them like $1 million. World class. I want us to do something. I just want us to, first of all, Jennifer, baby, you did an amazing job. Very proud of you. Very proud of you. Very proud of you. We'll get together, but I'm very proud of you. She's so worried about how she did. I told her, I said, don't worry about how you're going to do. Just be you. Just say what the Lord said, and that's all you got to do. I want some of our church people, we're going to be dismissed, but I want some of our church, I just want you to take a moment. Some of you feel drawn to certain ones. I just want you to come and just love on them. Maybe God's give you a word for them. Just prophesy over them. Speak the, if nothing else, just come speak the blessing of God over their life. Right? So I want you to get out of your seat, come up here and just love on some of these guys. Can you do that? And then we're just going to be dismissed on this. But this is what I felt like the Lord wanted us to do, because I love these men and women. If God's putting something on your heart, come up to one of these ladies and just share the word of the Lord with them.